This is Shooting Spaces with Rich Baum and Brian Berkowitz.
Welcome to Shooting Spaces, a real estate photography podcast. This is Rich Baum in Sacramento, California.
And Brian Berkowitz in Long Island, New York.
Ooh, snowy Long Island. California's got nothing. No snow, and it's beautiful. But how are you doing today?
It's been brutal out here, the snow, the last couple of weeks, although I probably shouldn't complain considering where our guest today is from. But nevertheless, we've had a rough 2 weeks of snow. It's been a while since we had this much snow out here in New York. So
has it really been affecting your work, your shooting and your schedule?
It hasn't been affecting me too much. I mean, this time of year is just slow in general. So it hasn't really affected me. The stuff I'm putting out there just has a lot of snow in it. So, it is what it is. And if the stuff is still on the market in a month when all this is melted and gone, we'll go out and reshoot exteriors. So it is what it is, everyone out there, whether you're, in the Northeast or the Midwest, everyone deals with this time of year. So it's pretty understandable, I think.
Yeah, it's gray out here in California, so we don't have the snow where I'm at, but if we had snow, I'd probably deal with it. So just get over it, right?
Exactly, get over it.
Yeah. So who do we have today, Brian?
Well, before we introduce our guest, I'm going to just give a quick word from HD Photo Hub. HD Photo Hub is a back office system designed just for real estate photographers. Give your clients a place to download their photos, make updates to their property websites, get flyers and social media tiles, and so much more, all on a platform that is branded to your company. Check them out today at hdphotohub.com. That's hdphotohub.com. And with that, I guess we can, we teased that you're from up north, but we can introduce our 2020 videographer of the year from PFRE, Andre McKenzie. Andre, welcome.
Thanks, guys. Mm-hmm. Thanks for having me, both of you. Pleasure.
So, Andre, you're from Toronto up north, so you're used to this snow that we have here in New York all the time. But first off, before we get into it, where can people see some of your work? I mean, you do mainly video. So I know most of the guests we have on here are photography related. You don't do photography, you're all video?
So I'm both. I started in this industry in video. I went to school for film and animation, that kind of thing. And then I just learned photography along the way as all the clients kind of requested it. So I do offer photos as well.
All right, awesome. So where can people find you if they want to see your work before we dive into it?
I think the best place is probably either YouTube or Instagram. So on either platform, it's Silverhouse HD.
Perfect. And we'll put a link, to all your stuff in the content. The one cool thing I noticed about your videos when I go to YouTube is that you're shooting properties that are 5 million, 10 million, 50 million, 60 million. What was it? Did I see it? 90 million or 96?
Yeah, 59. Yeah.
59. So you're doing some pretty.
Not quite 60. I'm sorry, Andre.
That's 59 Canadian, 59 million Canadian. So it's not quite 59 million American.
Yeah, like can't pick and choose, but 59 million. So you're doing some houses that are insane numbers. So, we can get into, I guess, technique and some of that stuff in a little bit, but I mean, you're dealing with the luxury of the luxury of the luxury, the top end of the market. How did you get into that niche over there, that high end luxury?
I mean, it wasn't something I kind of was seeking out to plan to end up in that industry. I guess when I first started in this industry in 2006 or 2007, I can't quite remember. My whole goal was I wanted to film resorts and hotels. That's kind of how I got into this. And then coming out of school, I fell right into this because my father-in-law is a real estate agent and asked me to shoot a property back in 2007. And that's just kind of how I got into it. And right off the bat, because I was taking film and animation in school, I kind of rented a camera from school and kind of did my thing. And then, I don't know, just I guess I was on the video bandwagon kind of early. I'm not going to say I was one of the first because I know I definitely wasn't. But I felt like I had a good in with a lot of big brokerages offering them something different than the people in my city weren't.
And what year was that? 89? I mean, 2009, you said?
Yeah,
2008, 2009?
Yeah, the first property I ever shot was probably 2007. And then
it was early.
Grew, yeah, I guess it was, yeah. As business grew, it kind of, video kind of opened the door for me with a lot of the brokerages. And I was able to kind of fall into the luxury area.
Yeah, I sort of wonder if just being around for so long just helped catapult you into that luxury market, because you were doing this before, like you said, not the first, but you were doing this before most other people were even getting into video. So you've been around for so long that you just kind of made your ranks up through the all the different markets.
Yeah, I mean, that's all I can attribute it to, really. And I mean, hopefully my work is as great as the people who hire me think. And then I kind of get referrals from there, and the property price point just kept on growing and growing until I hit that $59 million property. And I don't think I'll be able to top that one, but we can always aim for it.
Hey, you never know. My most expensive is $100 million property, and it didn't sell though. And it was an island with six houses. It was like a private island off the North Shore on Long Island. But you had me beat because your property sold, mine didn't. So maybe you're doing something better than I am.
Well, I recently found out it sold privately. So I don't know the exact details, but I don't know. I found out from another agent.
Cool stuff. What were you about to say, Rich?
I'm just sitting back going $90 million, $100 million. Oh my gosh. Cause I do $2-3 million places. So it's just chicken feed, man. Nothing.
Yeah. I mean, for me, that was a rare exception. I don't consistently shoot that type of property, but.
Well, Andre, do you shoot, what is your lowest? I mean, do you shoot, standard run of the mill real estate listings?
Yeah, of course I shoot. That's probably the bread and butter of my business. It's not always what I post on social media, of course, cause it's not the most glamorous, doesn't get the most eyeballs. But I mean, I'm shooting 400 square foot condos all the time, small little bachelor. So
when you're shooting, what's your setup? Who do you have with you and what are you doing and how long does it take you and what's a typical shoot? Or maybe not a condo, but like a $1 million, $700,000 house, a 3,500 square foot house. What do you have?
Yeah. So I usually book about 2 hours to do that shoot. The agents that hire me usually book photos and video because I do decent photos. I don't do amazing, spectacular photos, but they're very good for the real estate usage. And so I'll go through the property. I usually start with photos so I can kind of nail down my composition in each room. And that kind of helps me figure out where I need to stand and where I need to be in the room when I'm doing the video, so that I'm that much faster when I'm doing the video. Mm-hmm. So photos, I will usually spend about an hour or so. And I play around. Like I love what I do, and I don't always just go in with the mindset of, oh, I need to capture two or three pictures of the living room as quick as I can and move on to the next. I like to be a little bit creative and try to push myself to be a little bit better with my composition and everything that goes into it. And then after my photos are done, I usually switch over to video. I'm shooting on a gimbal. My camera is it's a little bit older body. It's a Sony A7S II with a 16-35 2.8 G Master Sony lens. And I recently picked up the Ronin RS2, I believe it's called, which has been a fantastic gimbal because I used to have the original Zhiyun Crane, which is pretty old and it's very fragile, if I might say. It's very small, whereas these ones now are rugged and super solid.
So you got big ass arms, right?
I got a really sore back. That's
really sore back.
Yeah.
And so you're taking a couple hours to do these videos, and you're also doing, how long does it take you to shoot the house for your still photos? So you're doing like an hour and a half to shoot your stills?
Yeah, I tend to be an hour and a half at about 3,500 mm-hmm. square feet. And just because I can do that kind of walk around and kind of wrap my brain around the space in the photos, when I'm doing the video, it's very quick. It's a lot quicker. It's like 30 minutes, 30, 40 minutes. Yeah, because I already know the composition. I'm really just changing the camera settings per the room and lighting conditions and color. And then I'm just banging out shots as fast as I can.
Cool stuff. Yeah, I want to, I mean, the point you made, which we just kind of moved on from, but that's a really interesting point. And actually, I never realized that I was doing it consciously until last week, believe it or not, where taking photos first and finding your compositions and sort of replicate them in the video. And, I had a situation similar last week where I was doing a commercial real estate job, photo and video, and I noticed myself, and I never noticed myself doing it before, that I kept going back to the same exact positions that I shot the photo in. And I'm like, you know, it, I don't know why I never noticed it, but yeah, it changes everything. And it actually gives a cool look to your video because everything is almost composed for photo. It's an interesting, I found myself doing a lot more 1 points even from a video standpoint versus angle shots and stuff like that. So it's a pretty interesting take on it.
Yeah. I mean, I want to jump in there because I edit for a bunch of other real estate video shooters all across, the world, a couple of people in Australia, a couple of people in North America. And the one thing is that they're primarily photographers who are picking up video. That's the one thing I always see. I always see their photos are amazing and the composition's amazing and it's bang on. But on the video side, it's like they kind of forgot about the composition. But I guess it is a little overwhelming because there's a lot of aspects to video to remember and take into account. You're operating this gimbal with all these buttons. So maybe the composition kind of slips sometimes. But for me, yeah, shooting the photos first and nailing that composition in my mind, I kind of know how to shoot that room to show it off the best. It makes the video part of it so easy for me.
Yeah, but kind of, I think when I shoot, when I'm shooting twilight shots, I like to get there early, and I will often shoot a shot of the front of the house. And it's not going to, I might use it, but I'm probably not. But it's just going to give me an idea of where I need to be when crunch time comes so I can recreate that. And I have it in my head. Same thing with 360s. Once I do the house, I then have set up all the lights. I've opened up all the doors, whatever I need to do my 360s. And I get in there, and it's just so fast, so easy.
Yeah, sort of like the pre-production work.
Yeah.
Cool. And you edit, obviously you edit your own stuff, and now you edit for other people as well. So what's the editing process like? You know, on an average 2 to 3 minute real estate video, I mean, you're talking about half a day of editing a day. Where are you at? And what do you edit on for people who might be interested in
editing? So my workflow, I mean, I'm an old school Adobe guy, just from back in like high school. I probably was working with Photoshop 3 or 4 back then. But my whole workflow is Adobe. I subscribe to the Adobe Cloud group of softwares, and I'm editing with Adobe Premiere. A typical house, I did lately a screen recording of my edit because another video shooter wanted to see how I edit. So I did a little screen recording of my edit, and it was about a 2,000 square foot condo, and it was about 32 minutes to do the edit to music, but not with not including color grading or anything like that.
Mm-hmm. So it's a fairly quick process.
Yeah, I mean, for me, the style that I edit at, so I offer a couple different styles of editing per different price points. And if somebody wants a more unique video or if there's a more unique property, I kind of put a little bit more effort into it. But if we're talking like the bread and butter stuff, my Premiere files are all templated. I kind of cut to the beat to make life simple for your run of the mill properties.
I also think it flows better when you cut to the beat.
Yeah, I think visually, us being creative people, we might want to see something a little bit more dynamic and interesting. That's not cut to the beat like a music video. I get that whole thing. But the average consumer out there, it flows better and it feels more natural when it cuts to the beat and switches and helps with the transitions in the video.
Awesome. So let's, shift gears a little bit. I mean, you were a speaker at the recent PFRE. What was that like? What was your topic on?
So my topic for the PFRE conference.
And how do you even get involved in that, for that matter?
To be honest, I don't know. Brandon reached out to me just one time. He's in Alberta or Saskatchewan. I mean, he's in Canada. So I've talked to him here and there. I kind of introduced myself when he took over from Larry a couple of years ago, however long that was. I don't know, maybe he knew that I shoot video. He knew I was in Toronto in the same city. And I always reached out to him and said, like, if there's anything ever, any opportunities to ever get involved in PFRE or help out as a contributor or whatnot, just let me know. And I guess being in front of him a couple of times during the year kind of made him remember me.
Cool. And what was, I mean, was your, I think your topic was video for beginners or getting into real estate video. So
yeah,
you just covered basically gear, stuff like that. Was that?
Yeah. So the topic was, it was video for photographers looking to get into, looking to add video to their repertoire of services. So I kind of skipped over all the kind of basic camera settings. I touched on a little bit on how I handle ISO and white balance and my aperture in different settings indoors, because sometimes that's a little bit different than photography, and you kind of have to do some different techniques because you're working with natural light and stuff like that, as opposed to flash photography with in photos. And then I got into I'm trying to remember. This was back in November. I haven't kind of reviewed it since then, but I got into, I think it was 5 or 10 different tips and tricks that people can do to get started, and how to get started. And I covered some of my basic gimbal moves. I think there was 5 or 6 gimbal moves that are my go-to for any different type of scenario, so exteriors or interiors. And I covered a little bit on gear, what to bring, but not so much. Yeah. Sorry?
Ninja walk.
Yeah, that's what everybody says, the ninja walk. I'm the worst for the ninja walk. I don't do the ninja walk.
That's great. Well, listen, let me jump in here and just say I want to do a little read for our sponsor, iGUIDE. iGUIDE is a turnkey solution for those looking to expand their real estate photography business beyond photography to add 3D tours, laser accurate room measurements, square footage calculations, and professionally drafted floor plans. Get your first 5 standard iGUIDEs free by adding the code SHOOTINGSPACES in the referral section at camera purchase. Please visit goiguide.com to learn more. That's goiguide.com. Okay. So the ninja walk, let's go back to the ninja walk. I is it not as important as everybody makes it out to seem, or is there just different degrees of ninja walk or smooth walking? Explain what that is or what you
do. So I guess, I don't do it, so I don't pay attention to it that much. But I guess if I were to draw upon like a past experience, before I even owned a camera, I was renting a camera from school. It's kind of when I got started. And I always wanted to do a Steadicam sort of walkthrough TV style video. And at the time I was shooting on a tripod and slider, so my movements were kind of limited. So I hired somebody else I knew who was in film, who owned the big TV Steadicam rig. And he would do the ninja walk. He would have like hiking shoes or something really firm that could hold his ankle really tight. And he would wear them indoors and do this silent Michael Jackson sort of like floating walk. Even though his rig that he was on did a really good job. But I guess doing the ninja walk pre-warp stabilizer inside of Premiere was kind of your only go-to to make sure that your footage was super steady and super smooth.
Yeah, I used to work on motion pictures back in the day, and when Steadicam first came out, which is actually back in the 70s, that's the 1970s, but I used to work with the best in the business, the top Steadicam operators, where they'd have
Gavin Brown. Is that his name?
What's
Gavin,
his name?
Gavin Brown. Isn't he the guy who invented Steadicam?
That probably is. Actually, yeah. My old girlfriend used to work for them. And I remember when I was a little kid watching Sunday morning TV shows, and they did a special on Steadicam. But they would put on a full-size Panaflex camera. And we're talking pretty big. And these Steadicam guys were badass. They would have they would wear special clothes and have on knee pads, and they would just absolutely wear sweatbands, and it was a big deal. And it's completely different. I mean, the whole business has changed with going into DSLRs and then mirrorless. But boy, it was a big deal back in the day. And how long have you been doing? What was your first gimbal? What was your first isolation device?
My first gimbal was a makeshift DIY metal rod with some
weights on the bottom.
Weights on the bottom. I guess I was trying to copy the
iCam.
Yeah, that gimbal from a while back. Yeah, it was a total hack job. When I look at that video, it is horrendous. It is the worst thing. I would never let anybody else see that.
But you know, it's funny. I used to actually own a Steadicam, and I used to do, you know, commercial video production, and I was licensed through Tiffin as an operator. And I can't even imagine, this thing was massive. I can't even imagine bringing that on a real estate shoot. And when you say like one of your buddies did and brought a Steadicam on, I mean, footage probably looked incredible. But like the thing is massive with the vest and the arm. And it is just, when I used to do weddings, we actually used to bring that on weddings, which looking back now is insane. I can't believe we did that. But yeah, I can't even imagine bringing that on a real estate shoot. It's crazy, especially now with the stuff that's, you know, the DJI stuff, which is so good and so affordable and so small.
Yeah, I remember I would always go with him. And I would have my hand on his back. So when he's backing up, we don't back up into a vase or anything like that. And yeah, that, I mean, it's a cumbersome piece of equipment. So
it's the way it was. Absolutely. Yeah.
Garrett Brown, I should say, not Gavin. So Garrett, if you're listening to our podcast, I apologize.
He's on there in age if he's still alive. So
yeah, yeah. I met him when I was in film school. He actually came to class, as the inventor of Steadicam to talk to us. It was pretty neat. And he also invented that that little camera that they use in the football games or the arenas that flies over the crowd and on top, like right on top of, for instance, when the, you know, football play is about to happen.
Cable cam.
He invented that too. So it's pretty pretty crazy. Guy knew what he was doing as far as gravity.
And Andre, any tips for people that are getting into this or want to? I went last year. I it was funny when we were in 2019, we did PFRE. The first thing I was ready to do in 2020 last year was to get into video because I never wanted to get into video because I was in the motion picture industry for 30 years. And I just didn't want to do that. I like still images, and that was fine. But I had an agent that said, "Oh, we're going to do videos on every single listing." So I said, "Great." So the first part of 2020 last year, I bought a Weebl S, and I had my A7 III's. I had the right lenses, and then I bought a monitor, and I was all set. I was actually kind of fun setting it up with little grips and things like that. But she got the sticker shock. My agent got the sticker shock of how much videos cost. And we didn't really go in that direction. So I could use any advice that you have. But what would you say to somebody that wants to add video into their repertoire, as you said?
For me, I mean, I understand how important the photography is, but I mean, 2021, most of the agents who are moving properties are adding either Matterport or video in combination with the photos. Anybody
today, I shot video and Matterport, didn't even do photos.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. First time ever.
Are you going to pull stills from the Matterport?
No, they said they're just going to push it on social media, just video. But I mean, I'm not going to question them, but. So yeah. Be it. Sorry for interrupting.
No worries. I always think if you have a camera, if you have a DSLR camera, why not add video to your services? And I get the learning curve for video. In my mind, it's steeper than photography because you have that whole editing aspect, which is shooting is only half the game. You have to edit that video and publish it and export it and upload it and color grade and all these different aspects. But for anybody getting started, I mean, if your camera records video, switch it over, maybe pick up a used gimbal or something like that if you can, and practice on your own house. The easiest thing to do is to basically replicate the composition that you would shoot in your photography. Do a quick YouTube search, just quickly understand how far you can push your ISO and aperture and stuff like that before you start degrading your image, because the videos aren't raw images like they are in photography. And hop on YouTube again and do a quick editing tutorial. There's iMovie tutorials, Adobe Premiere tutorials, which are very easy and kind of straightforward. You can get royalty-free music kind of easily today as something you want to use. I don't know. I don't know what else to say.
What about you? Are you doing, have you done or are you planning to do a video tutorial for people?
Yeah, so that's kind of in the works. And it's something I was kind of promoting at PFRE. I thought I had all this time and I thought COVID was on the way out and that I would be able to have properties to shoot on location. My course. I have the second half of my course all done, which is editing, how to edit. But the first half on how to shoot, I did a bunch of stuff just sitting here at my desk. But it's not the same as being out in a real property and shoot and having somebody shoot me shoot while I explain what's going on. But I do have a course coming out. The date exactly, I'm not sure when. But my whole plan and idea was to shoot four different styles of properties, like a condo, a townhouse, maybe an average size detached, like 3,500 square feet, and then maybe a luxury. Because I know there's some real estate video courses that are out there that have just luxury homes, and not everybody falls into that category in North America and in Europe.
Mm-hmm. Cool. And you also fly drones, right?
So I flew, I've been flying a drone since the Phantom 2. Mm-hmm. And I got up to the Phantom 4 and then I got into a little sticky area where I wasn't supposed to be flying. I'm not sure what the regulations are down there, but this is all pre drone regulations, across North America I was flying. And then when they kind of came into effect, I said like, you know what? I have the business to run. I have all these other things to do, booking shoots, shooting videos, photos, and editing. Let me just outsource my drone work to a licensed pilot who has insurance. And that's how I kind of do it from there. I stopped shooting. Although I love drones, I would shoot every day with the drone if I could.
And you're in Canada, so you have different regulations than we do in the US. More strict, right?
I think they're more strict. Yeah. Yeah. I'm not sure exactly what they are. I'd have to ask my drone guy. I don't even pay attention.
But you use it, I mean, weather aside, you use drones for most of your videos, correct?
When they're a sizable property or a farm or something with a decent amount of land. I always like to incorporate drones. I always try to sell it to properties that aren't in like a downtown heavy populated area. But yeah, for sure.
Cool. Now, I know we're talking about video and, you know, your videographer of the year and all that, but I'm looking at your Instagram and your still image stuff is pretty damn good too.
Thanks, man. Thanks. I shoot HDR. It's like my brain.
Oh, don't tell Rich.
Yeah. Why is that?
Hey, it's all good, man. I've mellowed out this year.
HDRs. It's like my brain doesn't have the capacity to take on learning flash photography and also wanting to push my video business more. And this year I'm kind of digging deeper in the video land because I figured like my YouTube, I'm at about 41,000 subscribers. So there's something there. So I just want to double down on
it. You guys can have a little challenge over there.
What's that?
Well, Rich is also like, what are you, like 35, 40?
Nice.
Well, I'll tell you though, I'm on your Instagram page and, you know, I will say that a lot of it is you have beautiful properties to photograph and people need to understand that the newer photographers that are out there shooting $200,000-$500,000 houses got to understand, you know, it's like shooting a gorgeous bride or an okay bride. So that's what it is. But no, your work is wonderful. And it though it is obviously a lot to do with your subject, and you have just some wonderful opportunities. So if anybody hasn't checked out the Instagram page, tell us, what is your Instagram? How can people find that?
Yeah, so it'll be at Silverhouse HD. And please follow me, because I need to break 3,000 followers.
So that's Instagram.com/SilverhouseHD. And I urge everybody to check it out because it's really great. And I notice you really like single point compositions. And I think that's great. And when they're appropriate and when you get an opportunity to do a good single point, that's the go-to ticket. What do you think? What do you like in your shots?
I'm a fan of symmetrical composition, mm-hmm. and especially when you get these nice properties that are decorated and either staged or have the right furniture. The single point to me, when the room it just speaks to me when the room kind of shows it off and the furniture is set up that way. And it's an easy shot to get.
It's funny, when I started getting into single points, and for people out there that don't know, a single point is just a straight on composition, and you don't want to just go off a little bit. If you're not going to do a single point straight on, go further off to an angle shot. But I think they're great. And the problem is, it's like a tilt shift lens. When you get a new tilt shift, you go way too high and shift to it down too far. But when you're doing a single point, you do too many single point images because they're just so magical. So you kind of get to that point where you really have to find that medium between when you're doing them too much and when it's just appropriate. But
I think there's a comfort level with the single points too, because when you walk into a room, any room, usually you're viewing it at a very similar angle to that one point composition. I mean, I don't know anybody who will walk into a living room and go to the corner and look at it and see how it looks. You know, you walk into a room and usually you're viewing a room in the one point. So I feel like that just resonates most comfortably with people because that's how they're used to viewing any room or house when they walk into it.
Well, I'm with you, Andre, though. It's all about symmetrics. And it's actually hard for me to do a single point that is not quite symmetric, but it's still a single point and appropriate. So I got to think outside the box. But I mean, you've got to have the bar stools right. You got to have the chairs perfectly symmetrical. And do you, when you're shooting images, still images, are you tethered? So you can see what you're doing and how you can move your furniture around?
No, I'm not tethered.
Mm-hmm. No. Why not?
I don't know. It just takes too long. So much work. Yeah.
Well, I mean, tethered to the iPad is not, I mean, it's not so crazy. So you use the back of the LCD for everything?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. Yeah.
I guess, I mean, if you're shooting brackets, it makes things a little bit easier. Because you're not as concerned with the lights that your flash is putting out and all that stuff. So, you know, a lot of times if I'm in a commercial real estate job where all I do is bracket, if it's a really small, you know, 1500 square foot office space where I'll be in and out in literally 5-10 minutes, I might not even bother to set up the camera into an iPad because my setup time might be more than my actual shoot. So I might just run in, pop a lens on and just bang off a couple of quick shots. So
Andre, you're doing HDR, and what are you doing? Five brackets?
I experimented with five.
One stop apart.
So I'm doing plus negative three, mm-hmm. At three brackets.
Mm-hmm. One stop plus negative three brackets. One stop apart.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And who do you, are you editing yourself? Are you outsourcing or what are you doing there?
I try to edit as much as I can. More of my time for editing goes towards the videos, just because mm-hmm. I'm trying to double down, trying to give my YouTube peeps some more content. But I recently started outsourcing some of the work because, I mean, shooting two properties a day plus twilights, sometimes video and photos, is just a little bit hard to turn around by the next day or next 2 days.
What are you using for your HDR? What program or what are you doing? What's your process?
So when I used to edit, my process was through Lightroom, and then I used to merge them with Infuse. Mm-hmm. And then I would retouch up the merged Infused photo. Mm.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I'm looking at your Instagram page, and you seem to have the luxury, and I'm sure this isn't the real story, but you seem to have the luxury of nice white places. And that is just the cat's meow, man. That's great.
I mean, I would tell you, there's a story behind that. So I recently hired.
You only do white. Ask your agent, you say, hey, if it's not white, I don't do it.
Yeah, I don't do it, yeah. No, I recently hired some social media help. And the advice I got was to have like a theme going on the feed so that everybody, when they're scrolling, they have this visual experience on the feed. And so that you'll see there's a clear start to the all white rooms. And just recently, when I stopped using them, there's a clear finish to the all white rooms because they weren't the best photos. They were just photos that kind of met the color aspect.
They're all pretty freaking good.
Thanks, man. Thanks.
Not too shabby. And it's interesting when Tony Colangelo talks about branding and getting your website, he talks about the mental, the stimulus to doing certain things with your website. And you only want to have so many images, or Ian, I can't really go into it, but you know, the mentality or the theory behind how to get people to really latch on to your photos. Is that what your person helped you with and talked about?
I guess. I mean, I've been so busy. I have a 2-year-old toddler who've been trying to potty train and all that, and we're just getting over Christmas and putting all the stuff away, and we're renovating our house that we're living in. So I kind of delegated the social media stuff and just said, if you know what you're doing, just help me grow a little bit.
Oh, so she does the whole thing. The social media.
Yeah, I mean, it was just mainly Instagram and kind of managing the comments on the YouTube and stuff like that. But I kind of gave them a number of properties, a couple hundred properties that I've shot. And I just said, oh, just dig through these and pick out some good photos. And I didn't realize it was all white photos until a buddy of mine said, like, hey, do you only shoot photos of white rooms?
Just beautiful. Just wonderful.
Okay. I'll take it.
Yeah, so if anybody wants to really see, get a good inspiration on shots, go check out the Instagram. Awesome.
Awesome. Well, Andre, we're running low on time. So we want to thank you for coming on, talking a little bit about your process, a little bit about your work, giving people an opportunity to learn a little bit about you and what you do. And, you know, I think, you know, in the community, this is just the beginning because, you know, a photographer of the year, and now video is becoming more and more prevalent all over the place. So I think people who haven't heard about you now will definitely know about you. And you know, I want to advise everyone to go check out your work on YouTube because some of these properties are just absolutely insane, especially that $59 million one, which I watched earlier today.
That's the one I'm hoping that they don't make me take down because it sold. So if you're going to watch it soon. Because
just change the name. No, just change the title of the video.
I'm going to
put on 25 million. So no one knows.
Yeah.
No one will find it.
That is the secret of what I try to do when they want a video taken down of a property. I just say it's still my work. So I take off any addresses off the property, off the videos.
Yeah, just super images, strong images, but such beautiful properties. Oh my gosh, you're so.
Thanks, guys.
I will say you're so lucky. Oh my gosh, I wish I had that here. In wonderful Sacramento, California. Now we could use a little bit of class and styling in our houses, our listings. But thank you for coming on. Great time.
Great to chat with you guys. Just great to chat with people in the industry.
Oh, yeah.
For sure. So as we wrap up, I'm going to just say a little word from PhotoUp. Are you sick of having multiple accounts, logins, and bills from all your different service providers? With PhotoUp, the industry's top-rated photo editing company, you can now have everything you need under one roof. From photo editing and virtual staging to property websites and photo delivery, they've got real estate photographers covered. They even help you hire a virtual assistant starting at under $7 an hour. PhotoUp is the one-stop shop that helps you run, manage, and grow your real estate photography business in one central location. Head over to photoup.net/shootingspaces for a special discount on your first full month of editing and access to their real estate marketing tools. With every account, you'll also get 2 free single property websites per month. That's photoup.net/shootingspaces, or click the PhotoUp link on the Shooting Spaces website.
Good company.
That's a mouthful.
Oh, that is.
Cool. So again, Andre, thanks for coming on. We appreciate it. What else we have going on, Rich? We got the webinar coming up in a couple of weeks.
We do the photo critique webinar with, and I guess we can talk about it now.
When is it? Yeah, it's, I mean, it's
Wayne Capilli and Tony Colangelo are going to be, you can submit your photos and have them both critique your images. And we're trying to get everybody from the top photographers down to new photographers. So you can learn and we'll do it incognito. So nobody will know who it's your photo, but you can get some great feedback on your photos and the composition because of all I learned at PFRE in Vegas was I want to do better composition, right, Andre? And it's all about composition.
Well, what I think about what's great about the Tony and Wayne combo is that, you know, Tony's the composition guru and, you know, Wayne is the guy of lighting, you know, all about lighting. So with the light farming and all that. So between the two of them, you'll get a nice full scope of critique on all the images from composition to lighting and even I guess we'll dive into some staging and some other things. So yeah, it's gonna be fun. So shootingspaces.net/photocritique. Go register March 4th. It should be fun.
And it'll be all the information for that will be in our show notes. Andre, your information will be in our show notes. And by the way, you've got a great little background. You have a little great little set going on.
Yeah, that's
nice. Look as nice as it does in reality, or is it just look like if you look a foot off to the right or left, it looks like garbage?
Yeah, there's wires and cameras and everything.
No, it looks sweet, man.
That's all you need.
I commend you.
Well, yeah. This spring I'm building an office in my detached garage, so I want to build a nice little set. So not everyone has to look at my stupid fish poster in the background.
It's great, man.
Yeah, whatever it is.
And the Stephen King movie, you know.
Exactly.
How great is that? Well, thank you so much for coming on. And I want to just say, please, if you are out there and you're not subscribed, please subscribe. Do that. It's really important. And you'll hear all of our upcoming podcasts. And please enjoy our website, shootingspaces.net, where we have all the presets and we have all our webinars. And that's where all the educational things are there. And Brian, but ask the guys, what should people do?
Send them in. Yeah. I mean, we have
a question.
We have, I think only one more episode after this one. So I'm not sure if we're going to get to it this season, but
we will get to it though.
Don't let that hold you back from submitting some Ask the Guys, because we're going to start the new season up and again, a couple of weeks after we finish and we need some questions to answer. So send some video questions. Maybe we'll have Andre on to answer them.
Yeah.
And if you'll come back.
Yeah, for sure.
Be safe and go out there and shoot and go out there and shoot some spaces.
This has been Shooting Spaces. For more episodes, visit shootingspacespodcast.com and visit our education site at shootingspaces.net.